Hello everyone, it's George Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. I'm writing in between the 80th anniversary of the Hiroshima bomb and the Nagasaki bomb. Forgive me if my accentuation is wrong. I know Japanese words is usually consonant vowel like that, so Hiroshima, is it rather than Hiroshima? So this was the first time that a nuclear bomb was ever used. Obviously it was tested at Los Alamos, New Mexico. Was it the month before, but actually used to kill people and kill people. It did, tens of thousands in the initial explosion, tens of thousands in the aftermath, you know, for several, some took several weeks to die of the injuries sustained that day, the 6th of August, 1945. So it was what brought the Second World War to an end. Now, you know, in the United Kingdom, people say the war began 1939 in the United States or former Soviet countries in 1941. Of course, in Japan, in a sense, it was 1937. In China, the anti-Japanese war, although the Japanese might date it from then as well. So it remains a controversial decision by the president of the United States at the time, Harry S. Truman, dropping the atomic bomb. So this is a war that killed about 60 million people. The Third Reich had surrendered on the 8th of May. Japan was fighting on. Surrender was not part of their vocabulary. Fight to the end. You know, a soldier must never, ever capitulate. That was the most disgraceful thing a person could ever do. And any man who laid down his weapons to the enemy would be treated with the deepest contempt, which is why they treated prisoners of war so abominably cruelly. The other reason to treat your prisoner of war humanely, well, you want to induce them to surrender. But some are your guys. Will be POWs in their hands. You don't want them to be mistreated, so don't mistreat this lot, because the Japanese weren't going to surrender. There was no incentive to be humane on the basis they had to ensure decent treatment for their comrades in arms who'd been captured by the Allies. So how are they going to induce people to surrender who'd never ever surrendered before? And obviously the Allies had retaken a lot of the Pacific Islands. There was still ferocious fighting on the Chinese mainland. The other thing is, the Soviets had promised that within 3 weeks, so sorry, 3 months of the German surrender, they would proclaim war against the Empire of Japan, which they did 3 weeks to the day, and they had their blitzkrieg through Manchuria. Now, Russians will often tell you the real reason that the Japanese ran up the white flag is because of the very rapid advance of the Red Army in Manchuria. That's northeast China. And that's not really part of it, although it was a very impressive campaign. And who says that the Soviets couldn't advance fast? And they could, but the Japanese really hollowed out by this point. So all sorts of reasons, you know, the Allies are contemplating landing on the Japanese homeland, you know, Honshu, Kyushu, whatever, Shikoku and Hokkaido. And they thought there were going to be hundreds of thousands of casualties there. A lot of civilians would be killed. You know, already several millions of civilians have been killed in this war anyway, sometimes deliberately, like the Holocaust, or, you know, the Japanese deliberately massacring Chinese civilians and so on. And not to say that the Allies were blameless. I think if you think the Allies never did anything wrong, you need your head examined. It's preposterous to imagine that everybody of one nationality is evil, everybody of another nationality is good. Good and evil people are of any nationality. And of course, they can be shaped by ideologies. So was this going to save more lives in the end? Probably it was. And not just of Allied soldiers. And in you know, house-to-house fighting, inevitably civilians get killed by, you know, aerial bombardment, by artillery, just by being shot when you don't know who is who, you know, especially in the dark when things are burning. There's a lot of smoke, visibility is poor, the fog of war, just panic seeing somebody, or out of sheer malice, and so forth. And I know an elderly American who's dead now, who was just too young for the Second World War, was very happy that the atomic bombs had dropped because it brought the war to an instant end, because there were millions of Japanese soldiers out there waiting to kill my elder brother, who was earmarked to go into Japan. The other thing has also been agreed that if the Soviets invaded Japan, they would take some of the Japanese homeland. Okay, they got the Kurile Islands, all of them, and the whole of Sakhalin Island. Remember, up until 1945, Japan had the southern half of Sakhalin Islands and the Kurile Islands, which they call the Northern Territories, and so on. So the Japanese were not willing to surrender. There'd been negotiations by the Swiss, who were neutral, but the Allies insisted on unconditional surrender. The Japanese saying, well, could we retain the emperor? I mean, it's clear that they were losing the war. And the thing is, they wanted to, if any troops landed in Japan, to recall troops from China, everywhere else, for the final defense of the homeland. Before that, they kill all the prisoners of war in their hands. I'm not sure if the Allies knew that bit or not. But how are they to get home? Because most of the Japanese Imperial Navy had been sent to the bottom of the ocean, and indeed even some of their fishing fleet, to starve them. So some of these seem to be like immoral methods of warfare, and I know the Nipponese used immoral methods of warfare as well. It's very easy for me to be my hobby horse and preach morality when I'm not in this situation. There's no risk of me being killed, someone I love being killed. This is long before I was born. International law obviously existed at the time, wasn't as developed as today. There was a Geneva Convention, the Hague Convention. Japan had signed up to these and flagrantly broke them. I mean, I think it would be unreasonable to suggest that the Allies must adhere to them absolutely when the other side are not making any pretense to comply with the international agreements that they signed and ratified. So goodness, yeah, probably saved more lives in the end. I think Hiroshima was the wrong target, though. An overwhelmingly civilian city, not that many military personnel. What other better city could have been hit? I don't know. I'm not one of those planners. One of the suggestions was not to hit Tokyo, because then you kill Hirohito, and if the emperor's not there, no one can order people to lay down their weapons. No one's got that authority, so the Tenno has to be allowed to live on. And they developed this weapon at great expense. People say, well, they wanted to prove that it worked and so on to ward off the Soviets. They already foresaw that the Cold War was going to start and so on. So that's why that they had to do this to frighten them off, and also so the Soviets didn't get to invade Japan and get some of Japan. And that might be one of the motives. And that film Oppenheimer, the American Prometheus, came out recently. Until then, I think much of the public wasn't cognizant what enormous undertaking the Manhattan Project was, how expensive it was, because there had been a British Empire project on the nuclear bomb in the 1930s, as in Canada, Australia, and the United Kingdom, and they didn't have the resources to complete it. So in 1942, they handed over all their data to the Americans, so the United States could perfect it, and obviously then refused to share their findings with the British after the Second World War, guarded it jealously. So if there was another city which really was a military target, and inevitably some civilians are going to be killed, it was actually surprisingly uncontroversial at the time of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Another point is, in conventional bombing raids, thousands of civilians were killed anyway, and this is exploited by Zionists to argue for the mass murder of Gazan civilians, which is completely preposterous, because obviously, Gaza is not an existential threat to Israel. Hamas has almost no weaponry. Japan was a superpower at the time, and so forth, have been invading countries all over the place, enslaving civilians in an absolutely literal sense, enslaving, carrying out the mass murder of civilians. And I know Hamas deliberately murdered several hundred civilians on the 7th of October. Another thing is, military technology was very basic. Aerial bombing was a very blunt instrument at the time. There were no guided weapons. Now Israel's got all this pinpoint accuracy, and so they can't say it was a mistake. They knew what they're doing. When they kill civilians, they're doing it on purpose. They know what they're doing, none of which pertained in 1945. So, and then because the Japanese didn't surrender off Hiroshima, 3 days later, Nagasaki. So to concentrate their minds, well, we'll just carry on blowing up cities. Bluffing, actually, the Americans didn't have another nuclear bomb, was going to take a few weeks to surrender, but surrender they did. That's why Hirohito spoke on the radio for the very first time. The Japanese public had never heard his voice. Too otherworldly, would only speak to the top generals in the cabinet, because there was such an aura of mystique. He was so exalted because they believed that he was God, like a human being and God at the same time. But when he died, instantly that divine status would pass on to his heir. Well, may it never happen again, use of nuclear weapons. And the terrifying thing is that these bombs, little boy and fat man, were tiddlers compared to nuclear bombs now. That wasn't even 1 megaton. And like, there was Tsar Bomba, developed by the Soviets in the 1950s, which was, goodness knows how many, was it 30 megatons or something like that? Anyway, do what you can to work for peace.